Cokie died on September 17, 2019, a week after we celebrated our 53rd wedding anniversary. When I gave a eulogy at her funeral in the Cathedral of St. Matthew the Apostle in downtown Washington, my aim was simply to tell stories, some funny, some poignant, all personal, to illustrate her truly remarkable life. There were 1,000 mourners in the church that morning, but countless others heard the ceremony on TV. And the reactions I received were overwhelming. People were hungry for more stories about her, her origins and her impact, her generosity and her goodness. So that's why I decided to write this book. Cokie lived much of her life in public, by the accident of her birth and the choice of her career. Her parents, Hale and Lindy Boggs, both served in Congress, representing the city of New Orleans for a total of almost 50 years. The Speaker of the House, Sam Rayburn, was a frequent dinner guest during her childhood in the 1950s, in the home I still live in. And President and Mrs. Johnson came to our wedding in 1966 in the garden of that home. Many obituaries refer to her as the ultimate Washington insider, even as Washington royalty. But her professional success flowed from her own tenacity and talent, not family connections. She wasn't a full-time journalist until she was 34 years old, but she made up for the lost time, crashing through glass ceilings at NPR and ABC with her impressive mind, impish wit, and infectious laugh. "The laugh," wrote Lear's Magazine, "distinguishes her from the self-important chin-tuggers of her trade, makes her someone people connect with." She loved hearing from young women who had followed her on the radio or watched her on TV or heard her at their school and said to themselves, "I can be Cokie Roberts. I can be that smart, that confident, that powerful." Diane Sawyer, a colleague at ABC and a fellow graduate of Wellesley, once said, "She made you brave." In another way, however, she wasn't royalty at all. She was accessible and approachable, a suburban housewife, as she often called herself, or an everywoman, as she told Lear's. "People think I'm sort of sensible and like them and go to the grocery store and worry about tuition." But every woman didn't have her propensity for puncturing pomposity, especially if it came from a man, as it usually did, me included. Her ability to call foul on something that didn't make sense, it just endeared her to people, said ABC executive Bob Murphy. David Weston, who headed ABC News during much of Cokie's tenure there, put it this way. She was just Cokie. She knew the stuff. She knew the material. She knew it better than everyone else. And she would tell you what she knew, but she also had, and it sounds lofty, a moral compass to her about right and wrong that she brought to her reporting that stopped short of moralizing. George Will, who shared ABC's Sunday morning program with her for many years, mentioned Rune Arledge, who preceded Weston as head of ABC News and originally hired Cokie. Rune had this genius for understanding what felt good to viewers, and Cokie felt good. She just brought an ease and confidence and comfortableness. One of the things Rune understood was that television has you in strangers' living rooms, so you better not make them uneasy. And Cokie was a good guest in a stranger's living room. Then in midlife, she became a storyteller, publishing her first book at age 54, We Are Our Mother's Daughters, which reached number one on the New York Times bestseller list. Four other bestsellers followed, five if you include a children's version of one history book, all of which focused on researching and resurrecting the contributions women have always made to American history while seldom getting the recognition they deserve. As Catherine Algor, head of the Massachusetts Historical Society, told me, the biggest thing that she did was let Americans know there was a history out there they were not aware of. That just made a huge difference.